Look at one verse this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Paul says, "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I do pray that you would be pleased to be with us this morning, Lord. I pray that you'll just be pleased to bless the preaching of your word to our hearts, Lord. And cause us, oh Lord, just to, may we see Christ this morning. May we see him high and lifted up as he is on the throne. And cause us, oh Lord, to just bow before him, beggars of mercy. May your presence be with us today, O Lord, as we worship you by your power and grace alone. In your name we pray, amen. Affliction. That word affliction is translated in the Word of God as tribulation, trouble, persecution, anguish, and burden. In this world, the children of God will suffer these things. We will. We shall. We must, actually. We will be afflicted. Christ told his disciples, he said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You shall. Paul wrote, "We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." Paul, in our text, describes our afflictions as light and but for a moment. And that might be hard for us to understand. For him to declare our afflictions to be light or but for a moment. But before we start thinking about ourselves, which is usually the first course of action, when we hear something, we begin to think of ourselves. I want you to consider who wrote this. I want you to consider the author here, Paul the Apostle, who wrote it by divine inspiration of God. Consider this for a moment. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he said, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool, I more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice, three times, I was beaten with rods. Once, I was stoned. Three times, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day, I've been in the deep. In journeyings, often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, coldness, nakedness. Besides those things that are without," he said, "that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches." Consider what and how Paul suffered. And he said, "Our light afflictions." Light. Now I know. Our afflictions don't feel light. I'm not belittling them in any way. The pain, the tears, the heartbreak, the sorrow, they're very real. They're very real. Sometimes they last for a day. Sometimes they last for months. Sometimes they last for years. The truth of the matter is, some of them last a lifetime. However, let us not allow our feelings and our understanding to prevent us from knowing the reality of our afflictions and prevent us from seeing them as they are, from seeing them as God declares them to be. And God has declared them to be light and but for a moment. And also let us not lose sight of what they work for us. Every man born into this world will suffer affliction. Every man born into this world will. Humanity is a ruined race. By one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death has passed unto all men, for that all have sinned. This race is a ruined race. Ruined race. This earth is cursed because of sin. The Lord said unto Adam, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. We suffer many temporal afflictions, sadness, sorrow, sickness, death, heartbreak, depression, addiction, pain. The children of God suffer many spiritual afflictions that this world knows absolutely nothing about. The world doesn't know anything about the spiritual afflictions that we suffer on the inside. There's a war that exists between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. In Christ Jesus, we're new creatures with a new heart and a new mind. To will is present. I want to serve Him. I want to worship Christ. I want to do those things that are right. I want to do those things that are good. I desire that. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, I do not. And the evil which I would not, that I do. And that's an affliction. That is an affliction. There is a war that goes on. The shame, the guilt. We deal with our fear. We deal with our doubt. We deal with our unbelief. How many times did our Lord ask, why are you fearful? Why are you fearful? Where is your faith? O ye of little faith. How many times did He tell us not to be afraid? Why did He do that? Still have this sin that dwells within. Now, while all of humanity does, in some sense, suffer affliction in this world, only of the children of God can it be said that it worketh for us, for them, the children of God, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The affliction suffered in this world or nothing to be compared with what lies in eternity for those who die in their sins and unrepentance. The Lord said, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Scriptures say it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Paul wrote, he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much more sore punishment, suppose ye, shall ye be thought worthy, who had trodden underfoot the Son of God, encountered the blood of the covenant wherewith He was sanctified, an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know Him that said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge His people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. The afflictions of the children of God in this world are light, and they're but for a moment, especially when we consider that we will spend eternity with Him who bore our sorrows. and carried our griefs, him who was wounded for our transgressions, and by whom stripes were healed. Now I want to consider something for a moment in the light of this passage. We will and must suffer affliction. But the children of God are the most blessed people in this world. And we have, in the face of these afflictions, in the midst of them, we have every reason to rejoice. Habakkuk wrote this. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. And just listen. He said, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. But he says, yet. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Can we do that? Only by God's grace. That's the only way we're going to do it. That's the only way. Because that's not us by nature. But he declares this unto us so that we know that even when things seem to be going wrong, when everything seems to not be going our way, right? When we have nothing, as this world would declare nothing, can we rejoice? That's all just stuff. We have Him. We have Christ, and that's why we rejoice. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice. Rejoice. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look at 1 Peter for a moment. Let's look at this one. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 2. And listen to what Peter writes. He says, Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the sovereign work of salvation by the triune God right there. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance. The children of God have an inheritance, okay? And that inheritance is uncorruptible, that inheritance is undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it's reserved in heaven for you. It's reserved there for you. Who are kept how? By the power of God, through faith, unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein, in everything he just said, that word wherein ties in everything he just said, all right? So wherein, in all those things, you greatly rejoice, and we do, don't we? We rejoice in the salvation of God. We rejoice in him. Though, now, right now, for a season, however long that season is, if need be, and there's always a need, it's for a purpose. Ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. And we are in heaviness, aren't we? Like I said, they're light afflictions, but it's a heaviness, isn't it? Why? That the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire. When you put gold through the fire, what does it do? It gets rid of all the impurities. It gets rid of all the dross, so that what goes into the fire, when it comes out, it's pure. Might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith. What's the end of your faith? The salvation of your souls. That day when faith becomes sight. That day when our hope becomes our reality. Though now for a season, we are in manifold temptations. Though now for a season, because it's needful, we do suffer, don't we? The children of God are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings. God Almighty causes everything that happens in this world, every single thing that happens in this world, is purposed by God and brought to pass by God for the good of his people. Everything. They are the objects of his love. They are the objects of his mercy, his grace, his forgiveness, his long-suffering, his kindness, his compassion, his blessing. In the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. And he's promised to never leave us or forsake us. And he's promised that no one's ever going to pluck them out of his hand. He said, I'll lose none of them, none of them. They will spend eternity with him. He said in John chapter 14, let not your heart be troubled. He knew it was troubled. He knew it was, but he said, don't let it be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And where did he go to prepare that place? The cross. That's what he's talking about right here. He went to the cross to prepare a place for those whom God the Father chose in him before the foundation of the world. And he said in John chapter 17, he said, I finished that work. Now, Father, I want them to be with us where we are, that they may be one as we are one, that they may behold my eternal glory. We're going to be there. That's why he came and died. To have a people to spend eternity with him, worshiping him and serving him. We're his bride. We're going to see that in a little bit. We're his bride. He said, if it were not so, I'd have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the covenant of God made from the very beginning. I will be their God, and they will be my people, and I will dwell with them. And we'll see in Revelation that fulfillment of the covenant. The afflictions we suffer are light. They're light. They're light when compared to the afflictions suffered by Christ on the cross. We suffer because of sin, right? Why does mankind suffer? Because of sin. Why do we suffer? It's because we've sinned against God. But we will never, the children of God, suffer because of sins. But the children of God will never, never suffer for sin. They will never suffer for those sins which they've committed against God Almighty. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. And thank God he has not dealt with us after our sins, but has dealt with us in mercy and grace and love and favor. Thank God we have a Savior. We have a substitute. We have a representative. Though God has not dealt with us after our sins must be dealt with. God must be just. God is holy. His law has to be satisfied. In order for God to be just, sin must be punished. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Every transgression and disobedience will receive a just recompense of reward. You read in Numbers, the Lord is long-suffering. The Lord is of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty. Sin must be punished. On the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered the wrath and judgment of God for the sins of his people. He said, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. Look at Isaiah chapter 53. Let's turn over there real quick. Isaiah 53. This is a very familiar passage of Scripture, but let's consider it in this context as far as his afflictions. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. But surely he has borne what? Our sorrows. He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded, why? For our transgressions. He was bruised, why? For our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him, but with his stripes we're healed. Now all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. He made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. He was perfect. Yet, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. There are some things that are just completely beyond my understanding. I believe it. The Lord said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? It pleased the Lord to bruise him. You know, that work of salvation, especially when you read something like that, you realize that what happened on the cross was between God and God. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. And he shall see of the travail of his soul. Consider what he suffered and endured on that cross. The Son of God, the perfect, precious Son of God, made sin, made what God hates. And the sword of God's wrath and judgment smote him. The cup, he drank every last drop. The travail of his soul. And he shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many. Why are we justified? Because he bore our iniquities on the cross. The just for the unjust. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and bare the sins of many, and he made intercession for them. The children of God will never, never know that affliction, ever. We suffer because of sin, but we'll never suffer for our sins. Christ loves his bride. Loves it. That's what the church is. That's what we are. The people of God. That's his bride. And he gave himself for it. Why? Why did he give himself? Why did he endure such affliction? That he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that they should be holy and without blemish. God Almighty made his Son to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We were predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of his Son. Christ died for the sins of all those the Father gave him. And the Scriptures declare unto us in Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him. What was that joy? The will of his Father? The salvation of his bride? No wonder Paul declared the love of Christ past knowledge. You read in Lamentations, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? This morning, as we consider the afflictions of the Son of God on the cross, is it nothing to us? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord has afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Our afflictions are light when we consider what awaits us in eternity. Look at Revelation chapter 7. They worketh for us a weight, a weight. Revelation 7, verse 9. And after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. That Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world. That Lamb which we read of right there in Isaiah chapter 53. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. How long for that day? I thank God he allows us to worship him in this world right now. I thank him for that. I desire that. That's why we're here, to worship God. But I tell you, I long for that day when I can do it as these saints are doing it right now.
in truth with a pure heart, clothed in a white robe in his righteousness. I long for that day.
And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robe, and where do they come from? Whence came they? And I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great. And that word is the exact same word that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, affliction. They are they which came out of great tribulation. That number which no man can number, that's the exact number that was chosen by God in Christ before the foundation of the world. And you know what? Every single one of them came out of great tribulation. Every single one of them. And you know what they did? They washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Why are they there? Because of the blood of the Lamb that accomplished our redemption and salvation, and by which were made clean. Therefore are they before the Lord of God, or before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. Now to us this morning, and I do not doubt that every single one of us here is going through some sort of affliction. Every single one of us. Some trial, affliction. As I've been preaching this morning, I guarantee you there are thoughts that have been running through your mind, because they run through mine. And they're heavy. They're a burden that weigh upon us. Look at verse 16. What awaits us? He said, I'm going to dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountain of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Look at Revelation 21. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. God's going to come again. Christ is coming again. And this whole world will be done. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. John got a little glimpse of it here. And by the grace of God, we do too. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared how? As a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And as I told you, that was a promise from the very beginning, and here's the fulfillment of that promise. That's the fulfillment of God's covenant to man. Those whom he chose in Christ. He said, I will be their God, they will be my people, and I will dwell with them. And that's a glimpse of the reality of it right there. This is the reality. We're just bound in time right now. This is the reality right here. This is when faith becomes sight. I will be with them and be their God, verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And think about this. You know, before I even get to this part, I thought about this morning. You know, we're going to see a couple things here in the negative, okay? We can say, and we know, that the heaven is going to be a place of joy, right?
heaven's going to be a place of happiness. I know that. Because we're going to be with him. But the truth of the matter is, I don't really know what joy is. Now, there are some things in my life that I've experienced that are truly joyful. There are some things in this life that has brought me happiness. But I really don't know what joy feels like. I don't know what happiness feels like. Now I know what pain feels like. There is some pain I don't know and will never know. I know what affliction feels like. I know what shame feels like. I am well acquainted with those things. And so as I read this, think about why the Lord describes these things in a negative aspect. Okay? So listen. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. We know what death is, don't we? Even as we get older, we know what death is in our own bodies. Neither sorrow, nor crying, and neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And I thought about that. I know those things. I'm well acquainted with those things. But one day, I'll never know. And in that day, I'll truly know what happiness is. I'll truly know what joy is. And I long for that. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write. And I'm glad he said this. I'm glad he did. For these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now these afflictions are light. And they're but for a moment. Let me ask you, what is eternity compared to time? Look at Luke chapter 16. And I believe that's the last one and we'll be done. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and verse 19. Now there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus was an afflicted man, wasn't he? And desiring to be fed with just the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and said, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receiveth thy good things, and likewise, Lazarus, evil. But it's just for a moment. It's just for a moment. And now Lazarus, well,
Lazarus was among one of those in that number which no man can number. Lazarus was that bride coming down out of heaven. Lazarus suffered. Lazarus didn't even have crumbs. But now Lazarus is comforted. But just for a moment. They're for a moment, and they're for a purpose. How do we grow from babes in Christ to maturity? We want to grow, right? We want to grow, to mature. How do we walk worthy of the calling wherewith we're called? How do we grow in knowledge and understanding and grace? Are these things not accomplished and assisted and aided by afflictions and trials? In the furnace, the dross and impurities are removed. Affliction in His hands, in God's hands, saves us from sin and this world, bringing us closer to Christ, giving us a better sight of Him, a better view of Him, and a better understanding of Him. Paul said, we glory in tribulations, also knowing what? That tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Paul said in Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It's good. Why does he make that statement? How can he say it's good that I've been afflicted? He said, that I might learn thy statutes. He said in Psalm 119 as well, this is my comfort in my affliction. Thy word has quickened me. Where are we going to find comfort in affliction? Where are we going to find it? Are we going to find it in this world? Are we going to find it in ourselves? By the grace of God, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are able to comfort us. The Lord gives us the spirit of comfort. You know, we all go through different experiences. We all go through different trials and tribulations. And part of that experience, when we go through these things, is that we do have that experience. So when we do have a brother or sister in a time of need, we are, by the grace of God, able to comfort them and to help them, right? And that's a blessing from God. And maybe the Lord will be pleased to use us as we go through these things to comfort His children. We're all we got in this world. It's us. Us in Him. But they're for a purpose. There's a need. And you know, the purpose was determined by God Almighty. And I'm just clay in His hands. And whatever He's pleased to do with me, I pray He just give me the grace to bow and say, Lord, Thy will be done. Beat this pride down. Beat this stubbornness down. In this life that is filled with affliction, seek comfort from Christ. Peter said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. It's a mighty hand, isn't it? That's where I want to be. I want to be in His hands. I want to be in His hands. What was it Isaiah said? He measures the waters. Just the center of His hand. I want to be in those hands that were pierced. I want to be in those hands with which God the Son entered into the heavenly heavens before God the Father and presented the blood of the covenant. That's whose hands I want to be in right there. I want to be in those hands to whom He said, no man's ever going to pluck you out. Because if I'm in those hands, I'm resting. I'm secure. And I want to be humbled under that mighty hand. That hand that is not shortened, that it cannot save. that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. Whatever care you have, whatever need you have, whatever trial or affliction or sorrow or pain, whatever it is, cast it all on him. Why? He cares for you. Paul says, seeing then we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He bore our sorrows, carried our griefs. He knew what we go through. He endured that. He knows it. He knows it in a way that we'll never know it. But was in all points tempted, just like as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy when, and find grace to help when, in a time of need. Do you have a need? Come to the throne of grace. Jeremiah said, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. These afflictions, my friend, the Word of God, Lord God Almighty, says that they're light. And he says that they're but for a moment. And they work for us a far more exceeding weight of glory, and therefore a purpose. I pray for all of us as we endure our trials, as we endure our temptations and our afflictions. I pray that he would give us the grace to see them as he's declared them to be. Let God be true and every man a liar. May he just cause us to see them for what they are. May he cause us by his power and by his grace to rest in Christ, to come to him. Do you feel the affliction of your sin? You know, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord on his throne. And I said, woe is me, for I'm undone. That spiritual affliction, that true affliction that starts right here in the heart because of sin, that begins when God reveals unto us one who he is, sovereign God sitting on a throne, and then secondly, who we are, a sinner. That's when affliction of the heart begins. But that's also when God's mercy and love and grace is worked in us. I pray the Lord will bless that to our hearts. Let's pray.